Book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. We finished chapter number 2 last week. Took us a long time to get through that. Again, I'm in no hurry to get through God's Word. I feel like the more time that we spend on God's Word, the more understanding that we're going to get from it. So, looking forward to this next chapter in, as we go through with this. Sorry, I'm trying to get my specs here this morning so I can read these things. We're going to read the first 5 verses this morning in chapter number 3, but I'm going to be honest with you, we might not get to all 5 verses this morning. We'll probably really just dive into the first chapter, or the first verse and second verse this morning. If we get any further, I'm going to be very surprised with those things. But let's begin reading in chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now you might understand why we might not get through the rest of these verses. Verse number 3, it says, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So let's have a word of prayer. As I begin to pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you again, just have a silent prayer to God and just ask God to speak to your heart. Do this for me too. Ask God to work in my heart that I may be able to give the word clearly to you folks. Because there is a battle that always takes place behind the pulpit. A spiritual battle that takes place. And I say it for this reason. Because Satan does not want the word of God to be heard by God's people. And so he's going to do everything that he can. He's going to create distractions. My words, I might trip over my words, which I do that quite a bit. I don't need no help from him. But those things do happen. Why? Because he hates the fact that we're gathering in here this morning. He hates that. And he's totally against God. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to come here again this morning. I thank you for your people. There are some here that are not feeling so well. And God, I pray that you just continue to work and heal in our bodies. We pray for the ones that are at home that are still battling their sickness. I pray that you just put your hand of healing upon them. Lord, let not just this day be the day that we pray for them, but we would pray for them throughout this week. We pray for the Nelson family who has suffered a loss. Lord, many of us in here have gone through those things. We know the emotions behind it. We know the heartache that goes with it. But Lord, everybody experiences these things differently. So, God, I pray that you would just continue to put your hand of comfort upon your people who have gone through these difficult times in our life. Lord, I pray this morning that as I go through your word, that you would, Lord, be with me, that I'm able to give the truth of your word to your people. Lord, I just pray for our classes again this morning. I thank you for our teachers who are so willing to give up their time to study the word, to be a blessing to these young people and our young adults as well, Lord, that they can give the word to them. And so, God, I pray that we just all be challenged this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen. Well, we're going to get through this morning. Are we looking forward to it? If you see me gimping around, I got a little story before I got to tell you. Gary, I'm not telling on you, but we're moving a shed yesterday from my house to here. And you got to understand something. Why would you do that? Well, it's my wife's father's shed that he built. It's one of the last things that he built before he passed away. And he built it out of pallets, Q, out of all things. And he was just one of those guys. And so it's just one of those sentimental things. So Gary had his bobcat yesterday, and we're trying to move this thing. And I felt something on my ankle. And I didn't really think about it at first, but the pain got more intense. Gary didn't realize it, and I didn't realize it either, but the front of the bobcat began to run my leg over. It's a little sore this morning. But it wasn't his fault. It was my fault because my leg shouldn't have been there. So, but thank God for his provision. I told Gary, he felt very bad about it. I said, Gary, I said, realistically, you did the right thing, because normally when you're in that situation, Q, people panic as well. And he really could have went forward with those controllers, but he backed off real quick. And all I have, Gary, is just a little scrape on my ankle. That's it. Just some little flesh tore off that will grow back someday. But I've kept the remainder of it just to remind myself of that day, Gary. Christmas is coming, so it can fit inside a Christmas card. But anyway, here we go. Well, it says in verse number 1, it says, this know also that in the last days, what's it say? Perilous times shall come. The word perilous is talking about troubled days. And I'm going to be honest with you, I believe that we're already in troubled days. You look around at our world, it's a world that's full of chaos. And Paul begins to even describe the further troubles that are going to be taking place. Now, I want us to understand something here. This verse here has nothing to do with the world, but it has everything to do with, if you read this as we just read it, has everything to do with individuals. That's what it's dealing with here in these first five verses. But we also know that people make up this world. And so because we have troubled people, we're going to have a troubled world. They go hand in hand. Hopefully that makes sense. So perilous times shall come. So you and I, because of this, we're going to come across people that are going to be very different. And I mean different than you and I. By the way that they react to certain situations. I was telling a young man the other day at school, I just happened to come in at the right time. He pushed down a kid at school, and he's been having some troubles this year. Please pray for our school kids. Just because they come to a Christian school doesn't mean that they don't have problems. It doesn't mean that they don't face troubles, because they do. And so I just happened to catch this, and I wanted to deal with this situation myself. Kurt's been dealing with that, and I thank God for Kurt. I thank God for the whole entire staff, to be honest with you, because they handle things with such professionalism, and I appreciate that so much. So I said, Kurt, I got this. I want you to take a break. And so I pulled this young man aside, and I began to talk to him, and I didn't come at him. I didn't scold him, because I knew he's facing some troubles in his life. And I said, well, you know this is your third time that you've been caught doing this. And he says, yes. I said, you know what I'm going to do? Because he knows of the events that have taken place. He knew what's going to take place if there's a third offense. He goes, you're going to expel me. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the reason why I said that, because I know of troubles that people face. But I also know this, Q, in this particular instance, that we need to show grace. I just begin to look back at my life very briefly as I begin to talk to this man, how many times I got in trouble, how many times I did things, but people bestowed grace upon me. So I begin to tell him, no, we're not going to expel you, but here's what I'm going to do next time. I want to put the fear of God into him. I said, I'm going to call the cops. Immediately he just starts trembling, he starts shaking. And I said, you scared? He goes, yeah, I'm scared. I said, well, you need to be scared, because if I were to call the cops in here, then they're going to take a police report, and your name's going to be on that police report, and every time something happens to you, you're going to have a record. And that record's going to show that you're trouble. I said, you don't want that in your life, do you? He goes, no, I don't. I said, you're a good kid. You've got great qualities. You've overcome some good things in your life. I said, so let's not let this get to this point in time because of some troubles that you're facing. You need to give it to God. And hopefully he will do those things. But in the last days, perilous times shall come. You're going to see trouble all around you. You're going to face people with different things in life, but that doesn't give us a right to shy away from those things and shy away from those people. But what we're supposed to do in reality is to pray for those people who are in trouble. That's what we're called to do, realistically. Why do I say that? Because when you think about the life of the disciples, and I'm not going to go in scripture this morning, but when you think about the life of the disciples, what was the one thing that they asked Jesus to teach them? To pray. They didn't ask him to teach him anything else, but they asked him to teach them to pray. Even with that being said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you go there, Jesus asked the disciples to pray for how long? For an hour. Obviously, Jesus has already taught them, and he said, hey, disciples, man, I want you to pray for an hour. What did they find him doing? Sleeping. I say this for this reason. When we're not praying for people who are troubled, what are we really doing? We're sleeping. So we need to pray for folks who are in trouble. So we're going to list some things that men face, and it's not just men, but women face these as well. So it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Isn't that pretty ironic? That's the first thing that is mentioned in this chapter. After the trouble, perilous times have come. It says, men shall be lovers of themselves. You know, think about this. We have no problem loving ourselves, do we? Why? Because we think highly of ourselves. And when you begin to love yourself, there's something that takes place. And we'll see this here in Scripture. The Bible here in God's Word, it talks about men shall be lovers of their own selves, but it also talks about having a love for what? For money. It says, for the love of money is what? The root of all evil. It's amazing after it says here in verse number 2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. But then the next thing, it goes on to covetous. I'm not going to stop there just yet because we're going to still deal with lovers of their own selves. I'm going to take a break from the word here real quick, but you go into Hollywood. Now, I'm not against movies, don't get me wrong. There's some movies that I am against. I'm not against television, but there are some things on television that I am against. Like, for instance, you'll never see me watching the show Bachelor. Why? Because God did not design men and women to have a buffet table to be dating each other. So I won't be caught dead watching that. But I will watch Andy Griffith. You know, I like watching those shows. I watch Perry Mason at night. 10:30 comes around. I fight to stay up till 11:30 because I'm trying to find out who the killer is on Perry Mason, but I never figure it out, and half the time I fall asleep. There are some things that I do enjoy. But when you look at Hollywood in particular, and even beyond Hollywood, are athletes. They're so full of themselves, are they not? Why? Because they're lovers of themselves. And because they love themselves and think so highly of themselves, guess what? They want you as well. So as we set the scene for this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, it goes on to covetous. Can we not just be content with what we have? What's wrong with that? Now, I understand that there are some things that we need in life. I understand that we need a home to live in. I understand we need clothes on our back and vehicles to get from point A to point B. I understand those things. But there's just some things that we really don't need to have in life. And so, with that being said, what do? We begin to work harder for the finances that we need to be able to have those things that we covet. And when we begin to covet those things, guess who becomes second place? The Word of God. And so, in reality, we all need to learn to be content with what we have. You know, we shouldn't want what somebody else wants. I understand that God blesses somebody differently than he blesses me. Well, how's that fair that so-and-so's got a Corvette? Well, that's just how God's blessed them financially. Be happy with your Prius. It still gets you to point A to point B, does it not? And it probably has better gas mileage. There's nothing wrong with that. Carrie, I was in a Prius last week. That's why I said Prius. Like when I was in Milwaukee for the conference, I had to have a ride. And the guys that I rode with came from Michigan, and I said, hey, can I catch a ride with you? And they said, yeah. We fit five guys of my size in a Prius. That thing was, when we got in there, it was level. I got in the back seat, and the other two guys was like that. And man, I tell you what, we're going down that highway. That thing can scoot. And we're passing all these things. I'm thinking to myself, man, how can five guys fit in this? But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, the guy that has this is very content. He's very happy with what God has provided for him. But we are a covetous nation. We are covetous people. We're not content with what God has allowed us to have. By the way, everything that we have, God has given us. Everything. And when I say everything, I'm talking down to the Q-tips that we have at home. God has given us everything. But yet, we're not content in those areas, and so we strive to have more things. And we find out that more things just become a clutter. And the more you have, the less you appreciate it. The less you use it. There's been so many things that I've seen people go through their own house, and they say, wow, I didn't realize I had that. No, because you have this, that, and everything else. You forgot about what you had because you became covetous. You weren't happy. You weren't content with what you had. Years ago, you know, growing up in a preacher's home, you don't have a lot of things. But I was so thankful for the things that I have. Learning to be content at a young age. I had to wear a pair of pants to school. Back in the day when I went to school, we had uniforms. Today, they dress nice. But we actually had uniforms, red and white shirt. Kevin and Christy, they know this. But I had one pair of pants, and I had two shirts. The pair of pants I had were corduroys, and my grandmother made them. And I had to wear those almost every day. But I was thankful for that upbringing because it taught me how to be content with some things. But I'm going to be honest with you, that didn't always happen in my life because I became covetous in a lot of things. I'm wanting this, that, or the other thing. But we're living in a world today where men, they're lovers of their own selves, and they become covetous. The other word that we're going to deal with this morning is boaster. Anybody have another word for this? Arrogant, I like that one. Bragging, that's the word I'm looking for. Braggadocious. Boy, we like to brag about ourselves, do we not? Boy, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished in life. And when you're bragging, it's pointing the finger back to you. Now, there are some rare occasions that we'll brag about something else, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent. You'll do what? You'll brag about your kids. You'll brag about your grandparents. But this isn't the case. What's going on here, as Paul is talking to Timothy, as he's telling, these are the people, these are the men and women that you're going to be dealing with. And he's telling them this for a reason. Why? Because Timothy is being, what's the word I'm looking for? He's being trusted with teaching the gospel to these people. And so he's coming to a group of people where he's going to be talking to people who are loving themselves, not really loving God. He's coming to a group of people trying to teach them the Word of God, but they're so covetous, they're not thinking about God, they're not being content with what they already have, and so their mind is elsewhere. So they're trying to figure out how they can have this, that, and the other thing, and now, out of nowhere, Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, you're going to be dealing with some folks who are going to be some boasters. They're going to be braggadocious. We've all been there, have we not? Who was an athlete growing up? There's a few athletes in here. Kevin, I know of, was a gymnast. You know, that's a rare thing for a guy in our community. But I was always jealous of the fact that he can do some of those gymnastic things. But God gave him a talent. But with that being said, I'm glad you raised your hand. But as a younger person growing up, Kevin's a few years older than I am. He's a few years more mature than I am. Put that word in there, Kevin. Never once as a young person did I hear of Kevin bragging about his accomplishments in the world of gymnastics. Not once. Now, he might have done that behind closed doors, but I never heard those things. Who likes to bake? Who likes to cook in here? Now, come on, I'm standing in a room full of people that eat every day, and you're telling me there's only one person in here that likes to cook or likes to bake? Wow. I got some other hands. Okay. You look at the world of baking and cooking. Do we not like to brag about how good our stuff is? We do. Charlie's shaking his head. Yes, Charlie likes to smoke. I'm not talking about a thing between his fingers. He likes to smoke meat and cheese and all those things, things that we can eat. Sorry, Charlie. The paws got it. It's all about timing. But Charlie, every once in a while, will bring some of his stuff that he smokes, and he allows me to taste of that. He's not bragging, but he's saying, hey, I want you to see. We all like to have something that we're known for, do we not? God's given us a gift. He's given us a talent, but we got to recognize God gave us that. It's not up to us to brag about it. When it's good, we'll let you know it's good, right? Okay? So we're braggadocious people. Look what I've done on the athletic field. Look what I've done in the cooking world. Look what I have done. That's who we are. That's how we're geared. I do that on occasions. What do you mean you do that? I'm going to be honest with you. There's been times, not many times, there have been times where I got done preaching and serving, like, wow, that was really good. I hope the folks got something from it. But when you think about that, that becomes a pride issue. In reality, that's something that we're not supposed to be doing. Because it's not about me, it's about who? It's about God. Amen? If you're awake this morning, say amen. All right. As we continue to go on this morning, so you look at the word boaster, and then it goes into the next word, which still kind of has the same meaning, but it's different in a sense. But you look at the word proud. Can anybody give me a definition of proud or a statement? What is proud? Anybody? You're all humble people this morning. Good job. You didn't fall for it. Proud is kind of the same thing with being braggadocious, but proud is saying, hey, look what I've accomplished in life. I've gone through this, and I've made myself a great person. And I'm a fantastic individual. It's really bringing self-glory to yourself. That's what proud is all about. And let's face it, what is the downfall of man? Pride. Exactly. I want you to think about this. Imagine being a Sunday school teacher, or imagine yourself being a public speaker for God, giving a message, and you come into a group of people that know way more than you do. Think about how intimidating that is. Why? Because people gloat in the fact that they might have more knowledge in God's word than you do. And so Paul's preparing Timothy for these things. Paul's saying, Timothy, you're going to face these individuals. Why? Because we're living in some troubled times. We're living in perilous times, Timothy. And as you face these people, I'm trying to give you the encouragement to continue to stay on course. What did he say to Timothy back in chapter number 2? He told Timothy to endure, did he not? To endure as a soldier. As a soldier, you're going to have some troubled times. You're going to have some unfortunate circumstances come in your life. So, Timothy, you're going to have to endure. We haven't dealt with it yet, but what does Paul tell us in the book of, I believe it's Galatians? Tells us to stand. During these times of troubles, you and I are to stand. It's interesting that Paul doesn't tell us to go out and charge. He doesn't tell us to go out and to be aggressive. He doesn't tell us to go out there in a fight. He tells us to stand. Why is he telling us these things in God's word? For this reason. Because of the troubled times that are coming, it's not up to us to go out there and to take charge. It's not up to us to go out there and to fight and to pick our battles, but all we have to do is stand. Why? Because we have a general, our high commander, who is going to take care and meet our needs. He's the one who's going to lead the charge. And all we have to do is stand. Isn't that amazing? Well, how do we prepare ourselves to stand? Well, it comes from the education of God's word. There are some people that don't know how to stand because they lack education in God's word. And we need to have that. So we continue to go on. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Well, that's a good word to stop here for a little bit. Who can give me a definition of a blasphemer? Donovan? Using the Lord's name in vain. I'm glad you said that because it's going to lead me into the word that I'm looking for. And that is disrespect. Disrespectful. That's what a blasphemer is. Being disrespectful about God, about faith, anything that you can think of in this area. And we live in a world today that is full of blasphemers. And I'm going to throw it out there. We too fit in this category. Because we too show disrespect to God at times. We got to be honest with ourselves. The Bible is like looking into a mirror. We don't like it, but when we look in the mirror, we see who we really are. And when we see who we really are, what do we normally do? We try to make changes. How do I know that? Because every single one of us did not wake up looking the way that we did. I mean, coming to church the way we woke up. Why is that? Because I can guarantee you 100% of us, as soon as we got up this morning, we looked in the mirror. And what did we do? We didn't like what we saw, and we made some changes. That's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is like a mirror. We're looking into a mirror, and it's revealing who we really are. And sometimes it really hurts. We don't like it at times. I don't like it. I don't like being shown that I'm covetous. I don't like being shown that I'm a boaster, or I'm proud, or I'm a blasphemer. I don't like those things. I don't like being told and shown that I love myself. Because those things are true. Man, I remember when I was 14 years of age, there was a commercial out. I can't remember what it was. It had something to do, I think it was a hair commercial a long time ago. But I remember the saying. At the end of the commercial, it said this: don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Charlie, that became my line. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. I was a lover myself. So blasphemers, disrespectful towards God, disrespectful towards many things that we can think about. Now, Paul takes a turn here as he's dealing with men and women. Now he's taking a turn here at the end of this verse. It says, disobedient to parents. Man, we live in a scary world, do we not? I remember years ago, I can't remember how long it's been, but I'll never forget my dad saying this. He was talking about how chaos is going to be coming in the streets from young people. And he wasn't talking about teenagers from 13, 15, 16 years of age. He wasn't talking about that age. I'll never forget the grade he gave. He said, I'm talking young people from third grade on up. We live in a world today where we're dealing with kids who are disobedient to parents. That is some scary to think about. Justin, you got two young boys. Your oldest boy, I know that you've had to discipline him. Yes. Why? Because he's been disobedient. Yes. And in order to correct those things, in order to show that your kids need to learn how to be respectful, in order to show your kids how to be a boaster or braggadocious or proud, what are you going to do? You're going to have to correct those things. Jessa, she's here this morning. She did something a couple weeks ago to me that I was not thrilled with. You'll remember this. But we went out golfing, and we had the nephews and nieces go against the uncles. And the younger people, they did better than us. But we played 18 holes, and I think it was the last 9 holes, the older guys did better than them. And I got excited because, I love winning. I love to rub it in. And I know I'm kind of getting off this here a little bit, but this reminded me of it. She goes, okay, guys, you guys can win, but you need to be humble. You talk about putting my tail in between my legs and going back to my truck to leave because she put me in my place. Well, that's a good illustration for this reason, because children need to be put in their place. They need to know that they need to be obedient. Difficult growing up in a pastor's home at times, because my dad gave you folks permission to discipline us if you caught us doing wrong. And there are some of you who took advantage of those things. And I'll remember this. I'll never forget what you did to me when I was younger. No. But he did that for a reason. Because he wanted the rod of correction to be put on us, so that we wouldn't turn into disobedient, rebellious kids. When parents, there's a reason why kids are disobedient to parents. Because in our world today, Tom, you see this, you're out there. In our world today, parents are more concerned about being their kids' friends than they are their parents. There's a time and place for us to become friends with our parents. But in our growing up years, until we're out of that house, that's a time when mom and dad are the parent. And mom and dad are going to have to use the rod of authority and correct those kids. I think it's a big mistake when parents are trying to be the friends to their kids while they're growing up. I think they're crossing the line, to be honest with you. Later on in life, you have that great privilege to call your mom and dad your friend. But they got to take care of the parenting first. Disobedient to parents. We're living in some scary times where kids rule the streets, where kids rule the household, where kids will rule the school areas because they're disobedient. Because parents, I'm not trying to, there are good parents out there. There are parents who take care of the situation. And it's a battle for them every single day. But there's a lot of parents out there that don't take the time to correct their child when they're doing wrong. And because they don't correct their child when they're doing wrong, they become rebellious to any type of authority, and they become disobedient to mom and dad. We live in a scary world when you begin to think about those things. Imagine if we had a world today that had kids who respected their authority. It'd be totally different, wouldn't it? It'd also be a little different if there are people that would respect authority. It's time for us to respect the police. They're our authority. You know, it's not up to us if they pulled us over. And why are you pulling me over? That's not up to us. We broke the law. There's a reason why they're pulling us over. Respect them. Respect them. Obey them to have the rule over you. That's what the Word of God says. I know that's in Scripture, that's referring to the pastor, but you can take that and apply it to some other things in life. So with that being said, I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to get off on anything else. So men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Man, that's a word that realistically should be our theme for America. Unthankful. Because in reality, we're not thankful for many things in life. We're unthankful, we're ungrateful people. And we really need to start showing our gratitude towards some things and towards some people in life. Showing how much we appreciate how much something means to us. You know, a little thanks goes a long way. You know, people like to know that they're appreciated. They do. They like to know those things. I'm thankful for folks who show that to other people, allowing us to, hey, just take some time to learn to be appreciative. You know, we're coming upon Thanksgiving. What's Thanksgiving all about? Being thankful. Some people will probably gather around their table. They probably won't even say a prayer. They probably won't even thank the people who prepared the food for them. Why? Because they're not grateful. We need to be thankful for the people that God has placed in our lives. Why? Because without them, we wouldn't be anything. We need each other. Which is why I tell you on many occasions how much I appreciate you folks and how much I love you. Because we need to do that. And in return, you do that to me. But man, we need to practice that daily. Honestly, when you think about that. What are some things that we need to be thankful for? Well, I'm going to say it. I'm up here. We need to be thankful for God's Word. Why? Because God's Word is the one that's changed our life. God's Word is the one that has allowed us to see that our sins was taking us to a hell and we're separated from God. God's Word is the one that has revealed the truth to us, and we're able to see how rotten and horrible we are. We saw where our destination was, and because of God's Word, we're able to see that, and we make the changes. I should say God made the changes. We accepted Him. And now we're no longer destined to hell, but we're destined to heaven. How did that take place? Because of God's Word. Be thankful for God's Word. Amen. I'm going to go a step further. Be thankful for His Son. Be thankful for His Son. Not too many people will leave their throne, will leave their kingdom. Everything that they would, most people in that situation would say, no, I got everything I need. I'm perfectly content here, and I don't want to have anything else to do with anybody, so I'm just going to stay here. No, but God gave us a son, and Jesus willingly went to the cross for you and for me. So be thankful for his word. Be thankful for him. Be thankful for each other. Be thankful for those things. Be thankful for your family. Think about this. Some of us, when we hear the word family, we think, it's really no big deal. It is a big deal. Why? Because a family is a God's gift. It's God's gift to you. Be thankful for your family. Amen? And I need to be better in showing my thanks to my family. And I'm not talking about just my wife and daughter, but I'm talking about my family that I grew up in. Need to be thankful. Why? Because we all would love to feel appreciated. We all would love to feel appreciated. We'll close out with this last word here in verse number 2. Let's read it again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. What's that last one, class? Unholy. Why is all this taking place? Because of this word right here mentioned in chapter 3, verse number 2. Because we're dealing with unholy people. And at times, even though we've accepted God as our Lord and Savior, we too act unholy at times. Let's not boast about how great of a Christian we are, because we all have some work to do. We all are still in that molding phase. I acted out this week in an unholy way. I'll give you my example. I was driving down the street, and I was trying to let people go in front of me. I was in no hurry. I was in the grandpa mode that day. I was like, no, I'm taking my time. You guys can just go. And everybody just stood there or sat in their cars. I'm thinking, would you please go? How hard is it to understand I'm doing this? Go. I was acting unholy. I wasn't acting the way God wanted me to act. We all fall in that category. We all have some work to do. Let me put it this way. I'm going to close. We don't have work to do. God's still working in us to change us. Amen? I heard the bell, so I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we've gone through this verse today, that we would just examine our hearts a little bit closer today. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.